This is a Defocus Media production.
This is Lunch Date with Rachel and Kate, a Defocus Media production. I'm Rachel.
I'm Kate.
Kate, how was your day?
It was good. I have had not a lot to do this week. Like, I've had some stuff to get done, obviously, but spent a lot of time with my cat.
Yeah.
Been really nice. Juliet's really great. And then today...
I crushed it.
I did a lot of things today. We had a lot of stuff to get done. And then I listened to a speaker, and now we're here.
Yeah. How about you, did so much stuff. You were leading a meeting. You were, like, throwing out t-shirts. You led a mock student poll.
Yeah. I just really wish that organizations that I'm a part of could invest into a t-shirt cannon. Like,
that would be crucial.
It's just so good. Like, my arms are t-shirt cannons. Like, let's be real. I work out for the moments where I can throw t-shirts.
Yeah, but I'm not at the gun show right now. I'm at the cannon show.
Exactly. Thank you for recognizing.
Sure.
I just want people to recognize that t-shirt cannons should be an essential part of everyday life.
Yeah. I mean, do you think, should you always get a t-shirt cannon?
I don't know if our meetings are big enough yet. Just wait. Let's give it a couple years.
Let's wait.
Yeah.
But that's on the agenda.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Next funding meeting we have.
Yeah.
That'll be out there. I think a hot dog cannon would also be a good way to feed students at meetings.
Yeah. Just feed myself right into my mouth.
Just like in general.
Yeah.
I think just like people in the street would really enjoy that. Like just driving down the way and just like, choo, choo, choo.
Join the URA.
Yeah. Women are great. Choo. Yeah. I just was really dumb in the meeting today. And we had a really exciting thing like it. Today we had UMSL had AOA Vice President Dr. Barb Horn here.
Mm-hmm.
And as well as we had AAO committee member Dr. Waleen. Him
famous,
here too.
Famous guy.
Yeah. He does myopia control. He's awesome. Like, mm-hmm. There are so many cool things that he does. And just like
clamp, crayon,
et cetera. He does spinning classes. Learned so much about him today. And just like all the work that Academy does and AOA does. Like, mm-hmm. It was great. And so there was all these people getting recognized for student fellowship, and it was all women.
Mm-hmm. That was
and
cool.
And I just was like, ooh, 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 yeah, women. I was like, I like girls. And then I realized that the things that I were saying could be taken in many different
could
directions.
Could be, but you know what? We're sex positive here. So.
Yeah, no, I really, but I also was like, I support men. And then if they were going to be student fellows, I would clap just as loud and do some hoo, hoo, hoo for them as well.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Even if they were aliens, I'd be about that.
Oh.
Like, I'd be excited if there was the aliens that won a student fellowship award.
No, that would be awesome.
That would be really cool.
It was a really good meeting and you did a great job.
It was fun.
Mm-hmm.
It was a fun day today.
Totally.
So what are you doing this afternoon?
I have got to take a TB test. So you know what? We talk about TB on like, we talked about it on the last episode too. People are going to be like, is this that podcast about those two girls who definitely don't have tuberculosis?
You do not have to worry, listeners, about getting tuberculosis from us.
Yeah.
That is for sure.
If you get it, it wasn't from us.
No, I have gotten negative TB tests.
I'm confident that I, too, will be negative. This welt is very small. Actually, there's no welt.
I don't see a welt.
I'm welt-free.
Yeah. That's a good thing to have as a daily personal, like, mantra. I am welt-free.
Rachel Simpson, virtually welt-free.
Exactly.
100% fewer welts than
the day
a
before.
Person with welts.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And then I have that interview this afternoon with Dr. Horn. You want to just meet up later?
Yeah. You're going to be flying solo. You're going to crush it. I cannot wait to hear it.
Awesome. This is Lunch Date with Rachel and Kate, production of Defocus Media. Today, it's kind of fun. It's just Kate, and Rachel's going to come hop in later. But I have a really special guest with me here today. So I have Dr. Horn. Dr. Horn is currently the AOA Vice President on the Board of Trustees. She's the Chair of the AOA Investment Committee and a member of the AOA Executive Committee and the 401k Committee. Wow, that's awesome. She has been honored as MOAs of meaning Michigan Optometric Association's Optometrist of the Year, AOA's Young Optometrist of the Year. She currently practices in South Carolina, where it's warm, even mm-hmm. this time of year. And we're so excited to have you. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
This is going to be awesome. We love it. Just when we get to hear other empowered women just talk about how excited they are about our profession. And I know that you love it. So let's just first talk about some things that AOA is doing. You guys have a lot coming up. I know AOA on Capitol Hill. What are like some of your advocacy priorities that you guys are working on?
Well, as you know, optometry is a legislative profession. So anytime we want something to happen, we have to go to the states. We have to go to the nation, go meet with our congresswomen and senators and talk about the issues. So our biggest mm-hmm. issue right right now, as we hit the hill at the end of April, is talking about the Doc Access Act to make sure that the insurance companies aren't dictating discounts if they're not providing any payment for that service, that they don't get to dictate the labs we use, and that we don't have to be a part of a vision plan just to be on a medical plan, that you should be able to be on a medical plan without being forced to be on a certain vision plan. So we have the Doc Access Act that optometry and dentistry are working together. Dentistry has 158,000 members in their association to our 44,000 members. Got a lot going on at the end of April when we hit the hill to educate legislators and get more sponsors. Right now we have 77, but we're looking to get more sponsors on that bill so that we can get it passed. We're passing it state by state, but we need to do it within the nation as well.
That's awesome. I know I'm from Kansas, and I get to talk with a lot of my Kansas legislators a lot. I know in Kansas we've passed an act similar to the Doc Access Act. I just love going to Capitol Hill. I'm just going to tell our listeners, like, that's my favorite conference of every year. I feel so American. Like, I just, like, I feel like I'm living House Schoolhouse Rock. And so it's something that if you have never thought about doing this before, I know there's still some student opportunities, so definitely check that out. Or email. I know, Dr. Horn, you'll say the same thing. Like, email your legislator, call them. If it's something that we can be an active part of.
Well, and they don't know what optometry does. A lot of people don't. And so they're making the decisions for us and for the nation and for the state. That's why it's so important to tell them what we do, why we're doing it, and what the fair ruling should be on these different acts that we want to put in place. So it's important just to educate them, and they appreciate it because they like to have the knowledge of what we do and how they should be voting.
This is just really exciting. I just love talking to other women that just are just as passionate as we are. So you have a family.
I do, in fact, sitting in the room.
Yeah.
Because it's spring break and I was coming to UMSL for the school visit and to go through the student quiz bowl to determine who's going to be your participant at optometry's meeting quiz bowl. The kids have spring break. I took them away from Myrtle Beach where the beach is, and we came to snowy almost St. Louis. So I have Brooke is 14. She's here with me, and Mick is 10, but I wanted to spend some time on spring break. So they're sitting here right now.
Yeah. So you do this. You have a private practice. Yeah. You're slowly but surely taking over the world. Soon we're going to crown you queen of everything. So, like, what are some ways, like, you do self-care? How do you get time with your families and friends and just feel rejuvenated? Like, this is something that we all deal with.
Yes. And as a board of trustee member, we're gone. If you're a trustee about 60, 70 days a year, maybe 80, as an executive committee member, we're gone maybe 100, 120 days a year. And as president, maybe 150. It just depends. So it's actually sad to be away from them a lot, but in the times that I can bring them and have them do special things. And, you know, we're here in St. Louis. We might go see the arch. We might go to the city museum. So the times that I'm away, it's hard, but there are some perks that, you know, it's at my expense, but I bring them along and hope to have some memories as we go on these different trips. So my husband's an optometrist and he's working as well. And luckily we have my mom lives just a few miles away and takes care of the kids every day, gets them after school to make sure they're safe. And when I get home from work, they're at their dinner and now we're ready to have some fun. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it helps to have family support.
Definitely. Is there any ways that you take time for, like, yourself? Because I know sometimes we can get burnt out as optometrists and, like, it can just get hard. And so Rachel and I are all about self-care. I mean, I do yoga every day. That's something that I do. And I run, and Rachel, she walks her dogs and gives them baths almost every day. So what are some things that you do as an optometrist that might be out of the box and fun just to keep you excited about what you do?
Mine would be rollerblading. So I want to clear my head and I want to get out and I want to get some exercise. My favorite thing, and has been for about 25 years, is rollerblading. I like to get outside and just be outdoors, fresh air, and get some exercise. So I usually will rollerblade to get some of that out. And then,
awesome.
You know, I don't have time anymore, but I used to get a massage every 2 or 3 months, or I haven't done that in about a year. But I hope that's in my future.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to do that. But we live on lakes in our neighborhood, and we have a boat. So we'll go out on the boat
so
and relax
awesome.
And just float around. Yeah.
And so, just be as people.
When we can. When we have time.
Yeah. That's awesome. So as you know, like, we've talked a lot today about how Rachel and I, we have seen a lot of studies about the wage gap in optometry. And then we were talking a little bit earlier that you haven't seen that as much in, like, your day-to-day life. What ways do you think, like, the profession is working toward making things just really equal? How have you been able to kind of combat that and say, like, no, I deserve what everybody else does?
That's exactly how I do it. I go in, and if I was in a group practice, and I said, you know, what is standard for the associate doctors in this office? And I evaluated that and looked at the other benefits and perks and what they cover and said, I want that same amount or more because because I think I can do this. And you can't just demand something without saying what you can do. But earlier today when I was talking to the third year class, I talked about the fact that when I graduated, I went and got experience as an executive director of a laser center. So I could walk in and say, I'm going to bring this to the practice. I'm going to, if there are other doctors there, make sure we all know how to increase this within our practice. So if the practice is doing pediatrics or vision therapy or low vision, and I can bring in laser vision correction, it makes it worth it for me to get not just paid the same, but maybe even more, or maybe the benefits are higher or something. So I think that you just, you don't demand anything, but you show how you can add that value. And I've never felt I've been paid less than anyone else, man or woman.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. I know Rachel and I, in earlier podcasts, have really gotten to talk about like knowing your worth, like knowing what can you bring. And it's hard for us as women, I think, sometimes to put a monetary value on like the aspects we bring. Cause I know I'm a giver, and I know sometimes that's just a more natural trait for us. And so sometimes looking at the hard facts and remembering like I am bringing value, and assigning a number to that value, I just like commend you on that, that what you've done with that. That is something that I know I aspire to have for when I join a practice. And I know a lot of women and men, just it takes a little bit for us to figure out what that is. What advice do you have for young optometrists as they start their careers and want to be engaged optometric leaders? They want to be people that are owning the world like you are. Like, how can they take what they've learned in school and take that through the rest of their career?
That's a great question. I think that people need to get active within their local society, get to know other people with similar interests and areas of practice, or areas that they don't practice, so they can bring that into their practice. I think that whatever your interests are, you should get on some kind of committee, where it's a state association, an AOA committee, or your local. If you get involved in that, you're going to get so much more knowledge than what you're putting into it. You're going to get some great advice, but you get that advice back out of it and more. And then you can use that in your life, in your practice, in your home life. And it's very valuable. So I think that people should get involved in their local societies and in their state. You're always going to be, the best thing about optometry is we're a family. You'll always be connected with your classmates. You can call them anytime and ask them a clinical question. Ask them a question about home life. We just had my 20-year class reunion, and they decided to set it up where there was a continuing education event, and it happened to be in Cancun.
So it
wasn't too bad. So I got to go down to Cancun, and I got 18. I could have gotten 20, but only got 18 hours of CE while I was down there.
Wow.
And I was with a bunch of classmates I haven't seen in almost 20 years, even though I talked to them and see them on social media.
Yeah.
But I got to spend some really good time with my best friend from optometry school and many others.
So that's cool.
It was really, really fun.
That's what I'm excited for, is when I'm done with school, is that like my days won't be studied inside in the snow, but instead in the warm on the beach.
Exactly. Yes.
Well, I'm going to go. I just thought of a question. So you've talked a little bit about like finding mentors in your community. Like, how have you, like, finding a mentor is sometimes scary. Like, and Rachel and I really believe that finding a mentor, no matter what, is going to be something that's going to propel you forward. Like, what are traits that you look for in a mentor? What are things that you look for in the people that you connect most with that really have brought you up higher?
Well, I told a story earlier, and if I can tell it again about forks.
Definitely. Please
so
do.
When I moved, after optometry school, I went to Colorado. And in Colorado, I went to their meeting. I just graduated a couple weeks earlier, and I was in the hotel waiting for the luncheon to happen. I was bored. Not bored, but I just was waiting. So I started straightening forks and pouring water and doing different things, and the executive director actually thought I was working at the hotel and started asking me to do things, and I continued to. I said, sure. I was just helping out. When she realized that I was an optometrist, a brand spanking new optometrist, she set me at the head table, and I sat next to a man who ended up being the Distinguished Service Award recipient at that state event, who then won the National Distinguished Service Award recipient. So I didn't search anyone out. I didn't go do any of that, but he's someone who I still talk to this day. And I worked with him, and I moved back from Colorado, but I still talk with him. I have questions, I call him, and that's how you find your mentors. And you're going to meet hundreds and thousands of optometrists, and the ones you click with the best and you value their opinion, or you just continue to call them or email them and stay connected.
That's awesome. I think I love to network. Rachel will always say that Rachel and I go to meetings together, and she goes, I always just know that you're going to find somebody to talk to in the room. And I think that's such an empowering statement to say. It's like, it's not someone where you need the specific trait, and you need like X, Y, and Z. Because sometimes as optometrists, I think we look at a patient and we can say, oh, you have X, Y, and Z that equals this disease. And so sometimes remembering that it's more about how you feel and connect with that person.
Exactly.
And that's really awesome. So what are you looking most forward to this year? Like, you've got, AOA has a lot of fun stuff. You have a lot of really cool things on your horizon. Like, what is a couple things that you look forward to most as a woman in optometry this next year?
Well, I think that, you know, I just look always at what's next and what's ahead. And next week we're meeting with ASCO, the Association of Schools of College of Optometry. All of the deans and presidents come and have a combined meeting every other year with the AOA. So the American Optometric Association and ASCO have our own board meetings, but then one day we have a combined meeting. So it's really fun. And some of the deans of the colleges are some of my best friends. Yeah. So there you go again, connecting with other women or men in optometry and picking their brains. And a lot happens during a board meeting, but a whole lot happens in the cocktail hour afterwards where you sit around and you just chat and you're relaxed and you meet them and you talk with their spouses. And I mean, it's really, really great. So we have that next week. The next week we have AOA on Capitol Hill. So we're going to DC. And then that same week I go to Arkansas for their meeting. And so it just, it's neat that, you know, one's a school visit, one's a Hill visit, one's a board meeting, one's a state visit. So they're all different. It's a lot of travel, but it's really, really exciting. And then we've got optometry's meeting in June that will be really fun. And Howie Mandel is going to be,
I'm so excited for him. I just, this is a funny story. So my friend has told me that he's kind of a germaphobe.
He is.
Yeah.
You can't shake his hand.
Yeah. And he was like, my goal in towards the end, he's like, in my whole life is to somehow touch his head. And I was like, more power to you, but I will not be in the room for that moment. Right. I was like, I will let you go and do your own thing and try to do that. That's always, I think there's so many things. Like, I love Andy Grammer. And so I loved having him past summer. He was so fun. And I just think that's such a, and I'm also a Broadway fan. So my first year in school in Boston, that was beautiful. So I think there's so much to offer at optometry's meeting. And I know each school and like with every OD that there's so many different things that you can do. I think we both could speak on optometry's meeting all day.
I know.
I know. One of my favorite things. And so
you did ask about what's coming up. And the thing is, even though 2020, the year 2020 and 2020 is a big term in eye care, it's still a little ways away. We started back in October of 2017 planning for it, because not only is it going to be fun for us as optometrists and students and new grads and faculty to celebrate 2020, we want to get it out to the public and we want to make it a huge splash about educating people about eye care. So that's another thing that's coming up, you know, a year and a half away, but it's still more than a year and a half. We're planning now.
Yeah.
We'll plan for almost 3 years by the time it comes.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I think that's so fun too, because it really means that we've gotten to dive in deep and first of all, think about those details, but also like the excitement is built for 3 years. Like, I mean, we just heard about it today and I'm already like, yeah, I'm ready for 2020. Cool, yeah. Like, I think it's going to be really awesome.
Yes.
Is there anything that you would love to share?
One thing I said earlier today that a board member had said to me, which I thought was really, really key in my mind, is that when you're growing up, you have parents there to help make you successful. You need someone to help you get to that point and succeed in life. When you're in college, it's the dean, the faculty, your classmates, people who are there for you to make sure you are educated and graduate and you're successful there. When you're out of school, that protection, that insurance to make sure you can practice and patients can come see you and you'll be successful and your livelihood is there, that's the AOA. And so I want everyone to understand the AOA and their state affiliates or AFAS or whatever your affiliate is there to protect you. And they're there to get you what you need to practice, to make sure patients can see you. And without it, you don't have that protection. So I want everyone to know the second you leave your school, your school's always going to be there for you, but you need to be a part of the big family of optometry. And we need to keep moving forward. So we need to have a high membership, really high. We can't go fight on the Hill and say we don't represent a majority of optometrists. Yeah. So we want to make sure we represent everyone.
Definitely. I just know from Kansas, we had an optometrist pass away. And I can just tell you firsthand how many ODs and people just came together. And you don't know that you need those things until you need them. I think in my brain, I feel like it's so logical for us to say, well, you know, if you want your rights and you want to do these things as an OD and you want to be someone out in the community, you got to go do it. Like, you can't just like ask somebody else to go do it. And I've had some professors that say, you know, like, I'm not one that can stand up and they're like, I get so nervous around legislators. They're like, I'm nervous going to say the wrong thing. They said, so I want to empower other people to do that. Mm-hmm. So I just think it's so important the way you said, just like get involved and find a way just for, it doesn't have to be that you're on every committee. That's, I know sometimes people just are not that way. As I just want to echo of sometimes it's just like, I know donating to PAC, like I'm a student president member in AOA PAC and just all those things. It's so important just to remember that we are part of a family and that's going to come in with the good times and the bad. And they're going to be there if you have a horrible situation occur, or they're going to be there to celebrate with you when you have like those great moments in life.
Exactly. Right. When I opened a practice in Michigan, my own practice, I had people drive across the state, optometrists actress that just came over to support my grand opening. My legislator, my senator, state senator came and had a nice little plaque for us for opening the business. An optometrist drove from hours away just to come show support for an optometrist opening up a practice there. It was really neat.
That
it was
so
fun.
Cool.
And when you said that some people don't like to talk to legislators, it's as easy as it is to speak to them as it is to tell your patients what you're doing. When you're doing an eye exam, you need to be telling them what you're doing. Right now, I'm doing this because I'm looking for glaucoma or whatever. If you didn't tell them, they don't know you did it, right? So just like you're educating them by telling your legislators what we do as a profession, it's just like talking to your patient in an exam room. So I don't think people should really fear. I know people don't like to get up on a stage and do all that.
Exactly.
But you're talking one-to-one with a legislator, and they're craving the information so they have an understanding of our profession.
And I think it's also nice, too. My favorite moment that I've had with a legislator is they were so excited. They hadn't been back to Kansas in 2 weeks. And they said, I haven't seen somebody from home in 2 weeks. And, like, that moment, she's got jeans on and a sweater because she just, like, was in between some things. And she's like, it's just so good to see people from home. And sometimes forget that all of us are people, that legislators, even though they have, like, big titles, and sometimes, like, when we get into leadership positions, people see our titles and they forget that we have hearts and excitement, and just we miss things just as everybody else. So I think that's so important when you said, like, you could have just talked to them like a patient. It's just like a friend from home.
Right.
It's really awesome. So.
I'm back. No TB. What I miss.
Oh, gosh. So proud of you.
Kate, your interview was amazing.
It was. Dr. Horn is just an incredible woman. Like, she is the AOA vice president. She is an incredible mom, an incredible just, like, mentor to people, and just... she owns her own practice. Like, all these things that I've wanted in my life, she's got them all.
Yeah, she's taking names.
Yeah,
she's
really
doing great. And I'm excited for her to be president someday.
Yeah, so, like, the way the AOA structure works is usually the vice president is elected into the president-elect's position, and then they turn into president. And so this next year, I know she's campaigning to become president-elect. So that will be awesome.
I
haven't heard of anybody else running, so I think that's just going to be super legit.
That'd be so cool.
Yeah.
So what are your takeaway and action items for this week?
So I really, really enjoyed that Dr. Horn brought up the fact that she has always advocated for and negotiated for her salaries, and this doesn't really feel the wage gap in her, like, in the world that she is with her profession.
Yeah,
like,
that's
where she is with her profession. Like, I want to feel that way.
Me too.
And so she talked about how she knew what she was going to bring in. She found ways to add value to the practice. So she asked for just as much, if not more, because she added value. It's something that I consciously think about, but I don't think about asking about what a person made before me. Is that going to be the same, if not more, because I'm bringing more to the practice, and advocating for yourself. Just being, saying, like, this is about me. I'm really excited just for a lot of what the AOA's doing. Was a member of the AOSA Board of Trustees, and I just was really passionate about advocacy in optometry, and hearing her talk about all the things they're doing. I'm going to AOA in Capitol Hill, so it just is, like, got me fired up early. I'm ready to go. I love DC. It's my favorite city.
Yeah, I'm excited. I get to go there on my externship.
Yeah.
I'm going to be doctoring in DC. It's going to be cool.
Yeah. You're going to just, like, slowly take names by just fixing everybody's eyes that is a legislator.
Be like, thank you for your vision. And they'll be like, thank you for your vote, or something like that.
Yeah, we'll figure out something.
Yeah,
your catchphrase. Yeah, we'll get a good catchphrase.
We'll workshop it.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So what are your takeaways, action items?
Oh, let me tell you about the research.
Okay. Yeah.
So last time we had an episode, we were talking about how we were going to get this research going to investigate the extent of the wage gap in optometry. And here, we've made some progress on it. So we got our IRB approved. Now we're sending out the survey, and we're trying to figure out how are people being compensated by demographic, by experience, by practice type, and by location, so that we can figure out the extent of the wage gap when each of those things are factored in. So we're trying to figure out if the wage gap still exists when you factor in all these different characteristics.
Yeah.
So we're sending out the survey now. We're getting some really great feedback.
Yeah,
we're hoping to get a huge amount of respondents. So dear listener, if you are an optometrist or a fourth year optometry student with a job offer, we want you to take our survey. And if you haven't received it from us yet, please reach out to us and we will give you the link. So you can get at us any number of ways. You can get at us on Twitter. You can send us an email at rklunchdate@gmail.com. You can go to unitedopt.org, UNITEDOPT.org. And
you can go to UOA on Facebook.
You can go to UOA on Facebook.
And honestly, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, all those.
Let us know. We want you to be a part of it. Yeah. Oh, you know what? We could even post the link in the write-up of this podcast episode. So then you could just go to the Defocus Media page and find the link there and then participate in the survey. Definitely. We want to get this information so that we can share it with you as soon as we know. And we just want the best information possible so that we can tackle the wage gap.
Yeah, because the best news possible would be like the numbers that we get show 0% wage gap.
That'd
like,
be amazing.
That would be incredible because also we can share that with the world. Mm-hmm. But if we get it back and see that there's 100% wage gap,
or that the wage gap is what it's been reported in review of optometry, then this data will give us more information about how to combat the wage gap.
Exactly.
Because we're asking about first job and we're asking about current job. And then we can kind of narrow down where this wage gap is happening.
Yeah.
So get involved. We really need to hear from you.
Definitely. I think this research, I'm so excited about. Like, I finished all my certifications and everything, and it's just, like, made me super excited. So I'm really going to take away just, like, really connecting with groups. Dr. Horn also mentioned making, like, networks and doing mentors, and I just think that, like, this survey gives us that opportunity, as well as just like a part of our life gives us that opportunity to do. So that's what I'm taking away. Anything else you're taking away?
No, I am just like, I'm jazzed about it. I'm excited about this research and we're doing it for, I feel we're doing it for the right reasons. We're trying to help. We're not trying to hurt at all.
We just want to know. It doesn't hurt to have more info. Mm-hmm. Well, I think we should probably go eat our gooey butter cake.
Oh my gosh, we didn't talk about the gooey butter cake.
No, I know. I forgot to tell you guys at the beginning of the episode.
What was on the menu today, Kate?
Yeah, so on the menu today is gooey butter cake because we're doing an interview that's as smooth as butter. Our interviewee has golden locks, just like a golden gooey butter cake. And it's going to be very tasty.
That's your best one yet.
I really tried on that one.
All right. Thank you so much.
See you later.
Until next time.
Bye.